Life isn't about avoiding the bruises. It's about collecting the scars to prove that we showed up for it. Join Nikki Seberini for the next hour as she explores heroism through illness. There is a warrior inside each of us. This is LifeLinks with the DL Link. LifeLinks is a funding initiative of the DL Link.
Well, it's just past 12 o'clock on this rather, should we say hot, is that an understatement, day here in Joburg on 101.9 Chai FM, this being the DL Link show, where we connect you through insights, information, and illumination. So good to be with you, Nikki Seberini, with you for the next hour. And and if you're keeping cool, if you're drinking lots of water, then you're managing to manage this heat, which I love. I absolutely love and adore. So, you know, we were talking about the Joburg ride and the wonderful stories around Joburg ride. And amazingly, the Jerusalem Marathon is just around the corner. It's taking place on the 4th of April. And that really is just around the corner because it's December. And then before you know it, it's Jan. And then you're starting to register. And then it's then. So the wonderful thing is you can join the DL Link team in Jerusalem. Now, you can get to decide whether you want to run a full marathon, a half a marathon, 5 or 10 kilometers, and then you get to raise funds for the DL Link, and you help the DL Link service the cancer warriors, and that's what they do daily. So if you are if you're interested, you want more information about the Jerusalem Marathon, please go to the website www.dllink.co.za, www.dllink.co.za. Every week we commit to bring you amazing stories, the latest in research, insights, and every week I talk about how I am moved and how I am motivated by the people who share their stories. And our first guest on the show today, I mean, there's only one word I can use to describe her, and that is extraordinary. Sky De Silva, really from coma to comrades, try and work that out. But here she is. She's sitting in the studio. Amazing. Sky, welcome. So lovely to have you on the show. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Nikki. Delighted to be with you guys today.
Wow. So as I said, coma to comrades. Let's go back to 22. Was it in 2022 that you got divorced?
Yes. So after about 17 years in a relationship, 7 of those married, I got divorced early in 2022. And I can say, Nikki, I thought that was the toughest moment of my life at that stage.
And so you turned to cycling. You got it was a wonderful social thing. I mean, you love to exercise, and it was this fabulous thing to escape the woes of the divorce, as you say, how traumatic it was. And then in December 2022, your life was turned upside down when you had an accident on your bike. So the accident was you threw a water bottle and you fell off the bicycle. Maybe you can just share with our audience what happened on that fateful day.
Sure. On the way to the studio today, I realized that it's a week and 2 years ago that this happened. I was cycling with a bunch of friends in Bella Bella. We were on a gravel road. As you said, I slowed down to actually throw a water bottle away into one of the support vehicles. I stupidly lost my balance. I fell, thinking that was, you know, rookie mistake. As I was about to get up, I felt this immense pressure over my body. And then I realized that the second support vehicle following us hadn't actually seen me fall and had gone over me.
That's horrific. You talk about this pressure, but did you say you realized there and then that the vehicle, and hadn't he stopped? Did he stop on you?
So yes, the actual vehicle actually stopped over me. You know, a complete freak accident. You know, I think their following distance was okay, but obviously didn't anticipate someone to stop so suddenly. So I knew exactly what had happened afterwards. I mean, I don't know how someone computes it so quickly, but you kind of realize, oh, this is what's happened. And my first thought, Nikki, was this is bad. And obviously the pain started to rush in quite quickly and it was immense. I actually, at that stage, I did think no one survives a pain like this.
Oh my gosh. And then they helicoptered you to the hospital. So there's the wait, there's the delay. And then you arrived and did they put you in a coma or were you already unconscious by the time you got there?
So no, I was unconscious. So they actually did intubate me on the scene. And they do also inject you to paralyze you almost on the journey to the hospital so you don't move and cause yourself more injuries. So from that time on, I just remember hearing the helicopter going a little bit up in the air and then that was the last thing I remembered. But yes, when I arrived, they had said that, you know, I did have swelling on the brain. There was some bleeding. My injuries were quite extensive, you know, multiple fractures to my face. My shoulder was broken. Ribs were broken. I had a 5-centimeter tear in my throat. My face had obviously, well, also had come off, not obviously, but had actually been, you know, pulled off. And so I had quite extensive injuries. So they actually decided to induce the coma for a number of weeks to allow the swelling to actually go down.
And thank God that was successful. Besides all the surgeries, yeah. I think you had something like 40 plates and 60 screws in your face. And you've had to go, you know, through all of this hell. But after 3 weeks, you came out of this coma. Miraculously, your brain recovered. You were okay.
Yeah. Oh, I can still remember the time that I woke up because you only hear about it afterwards. But the dreams you have are so vivid under that induced state that I actually didn't know what was real and not real. So waking up, you know, is quite a stark reality of where am I? Why am I here? Was the accident not a dream? You know, should I not be in Bella Bella? But then your body starts to give away signs that actually it's been fighting to keep you alive. I mean, I'd lost, I think, 23 kilos while in the coma. You know, my body was incredibly weak. And you could actually feel that it had been, you know, working while you'd, you know, essentially been sleeping.
I'm interested, Sky, when you were in this induced coma for these 3 weeks and you say you have these vivid dreams, were you aware of people? I mean, you've got this incredible support system, your father, you and your late father, so close, and I'm sure he was there every moment with you. Were you aware of them at all? Do you recall anything like that?
Oh, sadly not. Can you believe it? But the stories that they have told me are quite precious to me, that, you know, when, you know, my ex-husband actually came in to see me, you know, after, you know, despite us separating, you know, we're still very good friends and have a lot of respect and care for one another. He came to me, I think 2 days after I'd been admitted, and he held my hand and apparently said, squeeze my hand if you're in pain. Or if you're not in pain, sorry, squeeze your hand if you're not in pain. And I squeezed his hand. I said, squeeze your hand if you can hear me. And I squeezed his hand. Squeeze me your hand if you're okay. And he squeezed my hand. So when he went out to go and tell everybody the story, everybody was absolutely delighted. But for love of money, Nikki can't remember it at all.
Yeah, well, I think possibly thank goodness for that, I suppose, right, with everything you were going through. But you came out of it, but you had to relearn how to walk and talk and, you know, rehab is quite extensive after that experience, right?
Oh, absolutely. And I think that, for me, if you were to reflect on anything, it's not the operations that are difficult. It's actually not the pain management. It's the mundane days of rehab. You know, days are long. Your progress is so slow, sometimes backwards. And yes, I mean, I had to learn to blink. You know, my eye sockets were shattered. The area around my face had been torn off. So as it was sewed back on, I had to learn to actually, you know, speak again. So I had speech therapy, you know, going through your vowels, A-I-O-U, you know. Walking, you know, learning to actually climb stairs again. you know, hold a cup of tea on your own. So, you know, the things that you've become so proud of, like saying the sound moo, we celebrate it as a family, you know, because your base now becomes so more, you know, basic, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, we have to talk about your face because, I mean, I'm looking at you now and you look so magnificent and you talk about your skin, you know, not even covering your face. You had this wheel on your head. And it's just miraculous, you know, the human spirit, the body's ability to heal, having the support system, having these doctors, and then having a patient with a mindset like yours. So we're going to get to the mindset in a moment. But when did you know that there was this damage to your face? Who brought a mirror? Who, you know, yeah. What was that experience like?
Oh, Nikki, for me, this is the toughest thing to actually speak about and share. But when I do, particularly the ladies who hear my story relate to it so well. So it wasn't an ICU. In fact, they made sure I didn't face the windows to see my reflection, which was so strange to me. I said, why am I not facing the window? But clearly there was a plan for me to be eased into this. And when I went into the general ward and I, you know, I actually wanted to brush my own teeth and I said, please someone take me to the bathroom, and I saw my face. It was more than a shock. Not the sense that I was sad. I wouldn't say I was a beautiful girl beforehand, but I was a plain pretty girl. And now seeing myself, yes, you know, my face was deformed, but I couldn't recognize myself, which was very alien feeling. It's, who is that person? That's not me. Surely that cannot be me. Why did no one tell me this before? And, you know, then you play games with your mind. Why could they, you know, why could I not been hit, you know, on my body? You know, why did it have to be my face? Meanwhile, you know, after the fact, I do am grateful that it was my face and not my legs or back, etc. But yeah, it took me a long time. And as you can probably see, I started my recovery journey in terms of getting things like my nose fixed. I still couldn't breathe through my nose. That wasn't fixed, you know, wasn't seen as critical at the time. So 2 years later, I finally got nasal reconstruction and I can breathe through my nose. And it's the most wonderful feeling. I missed this.
Yeah, and actually, you know, it's quite depressing just breathing through your mouth. You know, they've done a lot of research on that and for your health, and you're probably going to feel like a completely different person being able to breathe through your nose again, physically and mentally. You know, Skye, just when you said looking at the mirror and not being able to recognize yourself, and you think about identity and you think about how important it is for us to identify with things and ourselves, it just that, besides, as you said, every other trauma, as you said that, I could actually feel a bit of panic rising up on me, because who are we if we cannot identify with something within ourselves? And for you to look in a mirror and know from the inside that you're you, but you're looking at something else, it must have been surreal.
Oh, 100%, Nikki. And I think that, I mean, at the time when I looked at myself, I was incredibly weak and sick. You know, I had black eyes, bruises all over my face, stitches all over my face. My jaw was wired. And so you now associate yourself with this new reflection, you know, sick, weak, not strong. And I think that for me was the hardest part is, you know, like you say, having this identity, and as you started with, my identity was being a wife. I loved being a wife. Now that I had to get rid of or work around. Now this new identity of sick, injured. Mm-hmm. So I think that for me mentally was the hardest thing to get over, was that, you know, you know, you go through chapters in life and things are going to change. I mean, I reflect that I was about to start dating after divorce. And then, you know, after this accident, I said, you know, I can't start dating like this. This is terrible. Yeah. But, you know, your recovery journey is a very special and sacred one. And I think if you're very kind to yourself, you allow yourself to heal from the inside out.
Wow. Okay. I love that. A special, sacred, and healing from the inside out. So, I mean, besides all of that, you have managed to achieve the most unbelievable things since all of this. So you got out of hospital, you had the rehab, you surrounded yourself with amazing human beings, and you decided that you started running and you decided you were going to take part in the Comrades Marathon. Why?
Yeah, I still get asked that question. And sometimes I ask myself that. So I had actually entered the Comrades. It's been a lifelong dream of mine to do so. And I entered it just before the weekend that I went riding. And one day while I was doing my 1 kilometer walk up the road diligently with my father, he said, "So when are we doing Comrades?" And I looked at him with absolute shock, going, "Dad, we are doing a 1 kilometer walk and I'm sweating profusely. I don't think that's on the cards anymore." And even the doctors had said, you know, my lung capacity with my nose, etc., is just not something that I should be aiming for. And he said, "Oh, but okay." And from then on, he knew he planted a seed that I just needed to do what I had started. And slowly but surely, I started running again. It was incredibly difficult because I went back to my team of people who'd been keeping fit all this time. So they're running circles around me and I'm panting out of breath. But, you know, 1 foot in front of the other and diligently getting up every day, I started to train. And yes, it was incredibly touch and go as to whether I'd finish it. And Nikki, if I were to be honest, there were plenty of times where I said, "Oh, maybe I shouldn't do this now. What if I fail? What if I don't do this? You know, what if I do this and I don't finish?" And I think for me, we doubt ourselves in so many aspects of our lives like that. You know, don't ask that question in the meeting. You're going to sound stupid. Or, you know, don't wear that outfit. You know, it doesn't suit you. And if there was something that I learned from this experience, is why not? I mean, you do this human thing once, just give it a go. And goodness me, am I so happy I did. It was the most special day. And I must say, you know, the amount of people that celebrated with me, including my friends who, like you say, "Why would you do this?" You know, staring in front of his TV for 11 plus hours. It was an incredibly personal accomplishment, but one shared by so many people.
I mean, it's just absolutely incredible. So how long after the accident did you run the Comrades Marathon?
18 months, just shy of 18 months.
So I have to ask the obvious question. I mean, we talk about, I read somewhere that you remember the moment when you decided not to be a victim. You remember the moment when you very consciously changed your mindset, and your father was a huge, huge support. He sounds like your biggest cheerleader. Just speak to that. You know, your story is extraordinary, but what you've achieved is unbelievable. For people who are listening, who want to know where do you get it from? How did you get that mindset? Could you speak to that, please?
So Nikki, I definitely think that you can never do it alone, and don't convince yourself you can. Lean on the people around you, and people who know me are probably going to be chuckling in their chairs because I'm an incredibly independent person. But, you know, the one thing that my dad said to me after this all happened was, "You can let this be the defining thing of your life or choose something else." And I wanted the crossing the Comrades finish line after something like this to be the story I left behind, not that I was in an accident. And so I think that for me, when things get really, really tough, is what do you want your story to be? You know, and really just hold on to moments in life. Like you said, I remember feeling the sun on my skin for the first time after being in a coma. And that, just soaking that moment in and being like, "That this is the most incredible feeling. How did I ever not realize how special this was?" Really hanging on to those moments is, for me, what keeps me going. One last story that I'll share with you, and I think it was also in the article that you read, is when I was running the Two Oceans Marathon, this was the furthest distance I'd been. I was halfway, and I was slower than what the cutoff should be at that time. And, you know, my dad had passed very suddenly a few months before, and I just whispered in my head, and I said, "Dad, stay close. I don't feel you." And all of a sudden, over this boombox, did, you know, my dad's favorite song start playing. And, you know, it's those kinds of things where, you know, where I say, just seek help, seek guidance, seek support, seek, you know, the universe will speak back at you, to you, and, yeah, you know, write your own story.
What a beautiful story, Skye. So besides having people physically rehabilitate, physically help you train, did you see someone from a mental point of view, emotional, to get over the trauma of your experience? And do you still see someone? And if so, is there a value in that for you and for others listening?
100%, Nikki. I've been a big advocate for therapy, counseling before the accident. And afterwards, I went to a specific trauma counselor who actually works in Mill Park. And I think the value of that was that it allowed me to be so much kinder to myself, because they have the experience to know what you're feeling, to almost empathize with your situation rather than you think that you're the only one going through this journey. I have since, you know, moved to another therapist who's just actually more of a life coach. You know, I'm wanting to pick up the pieces of my life now. You know, I've dealt with the trauma. And I think it is so critical, you know, if you want to be deliberate in living your life, to really go seek those experts out there that can really help you. And like you said, physically is one aspect, spiritually is another, but also mentally for me has been a big game changer in my recovery journey.
Yeah, I think it's a really, really important. We can't stress that enough for those people who are listening now. We focus so much on the physical, but the mental and the spiritual is, I mean, that's what supports it all. Skye, in November this year, besides the Comrades Marathon that you ran and the Two Oceans and you took to the streets of Joburg and you did the Joburg ride. Am I correct?
Yes. I never thought I'd get back on my bike, but I did.
I was going to say, how did you get back onto a bike?
So I sound like a bit of a cliche. I'm such a daddy's girl, but my dad actually used to be a cyclist, had multiple injuries, had to stop cycling. And he was the one that said, "I will get you back on your bike and we are going to do this 94.7. And if you choose not to ride again, you don't have to, but you don't make this your biggest fear." And so in honor of him, a few friends of mine got me to, you know, pack my bike in my car, go off to the cradle. They had this protective circle around me cycling every weekend. And after a few weeks of training, we did it. And I must say, it was the most healing, special day for me, Nikki. I was confident. I wasn't scared. I was happy. I was joyous. And for me, it was exactly what I needed to kind of get over this big fear of the bike.
Unbelievable. I mean, the fact that you got back on and didn't just get back on, but boy, did you get back on, is, as I said, Skye, it's so hugely inspiring. So what, I mean, you've just said you're going for the reconstructive surgery, like you've just fixed your nose, you can now breathe through your nose. What does the future hold for Skye? Because I see you as the sky's the limit kind of person, but you are human. You've lost your dad. You've had this really challenging period of your life. Where to from here?
Oh, that's such a lovely question, Nikki. And I'm going to give you my best answer. I don't know. And that's what's so beautiful about it. But for me, one thing that has changed since the accident is I feed my soul a lot more than I feed my ego, if that makes sense. You know, I used to kind of tick the boxes of what a full life would be, traveling, you know, working, getting promoted, marrying, having the kids. And, you know, I really wanted a full life. Whereas now I really want to slow down. I want to spend time with, you know, my family and my friends. I want to, you know, nourish my spirit with the things that I really enjoy. I'm going for my back-to-back comrades this coming year, and so. I could not be more excited. But for me, I want to obviously finish some of the reconstructive surgeries that I've gotten, and really it's to reconnect with myself. You know, I don't want to have a perfect face. I don't want a perfect nose. I want to look at myself and go, there she is. That's there Sky. And so yeah. I guess that I'm on my healing journey. And for now, I'm taking it slow and steady and really looking forward to the December break, just like everyone else, I'm sure.
Oh, amazing. And I do love your answer. I don't know. We want to try and control everything, as you say. You have all the boxes ticked. And at the end of the day, you can be going on a bicycle ride, fall off, and then your life goes on a whole different trajectory. But amazing, Sky. So thank you for sharing your story and for inspiring us. Honestly, it's wonderful, wonderful to hear. And all the best with the marathon next year and all the other mountains that you choose to climb. And then, of course, just coming back home to you time and time again. It's been such a pleasure having you on the show. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Nikki. Delightful to talk to you and your listeners.
Take care. Thank you, Sky. Sky De Silva. What an extraordinary, extraordinary story. And I just love those nuggets that Sky shared with us. And by the way, if you have missed part of the interview, if you want to revisit it, we will be podcasting it tomorrow, and you can find those podcasts on the Chai FM website.